Daytime Confidential, brought to you by TVFanOnline.com, your one-stop source for daytime news, gossip, opinions, and more. Hey, soap fans, my name is Lisa.
And I'm Luke. This week, we are just counting down the best and worst of 2006 in the world of daytime. Everything and anything is on the list, and anything and everything is up for grabs, so stay tuned. Boy, oh boy, Lisa, it's been quite a year, and it's got to that time where we just have to count down the best and worst.
I agree. I think we should save the best for last. What do you think?
The best for last? Okay.
Best daytime drama? We'll save that for last. Keep people in suspense.
Okay.
Keep them listening.
Last on that second episode.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so then, without further ado, let's get to the good stuff. Say, okay. Best male character.
Oh.
Or most improved.
Or most improved? Well, let's do that one. I like that one. My most improved male character actually did not really start improving until the last month or so, but has made such strides that I can't help but give him the award.
Oh, no.
My most improved male character is Eric Forrester from The Bold and the Beautiful. Dude found his spine this last week, and I love it. That's Eric Forster. That's the mogul I know and love. That's the man who is a good match for Stephanie. Thank you, Eric. Thank you for coming back. I've missed you.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
What?
Something must be in the water, because I went and chose Ridge Forrester.
Oh, man.
I hate to be snarky. I hate to start this out snarky, but I have never been a particular fan of Ridge. I've
Me
always
either.
Thought that he's come off a bit as a pompous ass.
But it's, really?
But it seems like this year he's had a little bit of growth, and sure, he's a little bit he's more than a little bit arrogant. Sure, he's still arrogant, but it just seems to be that he's growing. Maybe he's matured. I don't know if the gray hair's starting to come in, if that has anything to do with it or not.
I think next to Nick, he's just the lesser of two evils, personally. But
that could be it.
It is improvement.
It could be the Willow effect.
Oh, man. That's really good.
It could be the Willow effect.
Probably.
Oh, boy. So who's our...
Do you want me to go on to the next one? Most improved female Famali character?
Yes. Who is our most improved female?
Ours?
Or yours?
I don't know. Guys, just a real quick recap. We don't know each other's picks. Now, I mean, we can guess. We've pretty much guessed a couple of them because we know each other so well, but we really have no idea. Like, he has no idea I've picked Jessica Buchanan from One Life to Live as my most improved female character. And I'm going to hear an explosion in a second. I think she's improved because she's more like Tess now. So I don't hate her as much. I don't want to, you know, snatch her bald-headed and fling her blonde hair out the window. I like the Jessica with a spine. I like that she's not taking guff from Antonio as much. I like that she's, you know, sees that Nash is the best man for her, even though she hasn't admitted it yet. I just have enjoyed Jessica a lot more since the integration, so she's my most improved female character.
Oh, boy. I think there are others more worthy of your nomination, but I will agree
with... Well, probably, but I couldn't think of them, so...
But I will agree that it's been quite the year, and I think it can all be chalked up to Bree Williamson.
Yes.
And her amazing performance. She should have been nominated last year for an Emmy and wasn't, so I can agree with you on some respects on that.
Well, and I figured who you were going to choose, and I thought, okay, we can't choose all the same ones. So I kind of went another direction with it just so we'd have a different opinion. So.
Well, we'll see. Maybe I didn't choose who you thought. Maybe you don't
you
know
did.
Me as well.
I think you chose who I thought you were going to
choose.
Well,
my choice comes from the wonderful and rapidly improving show of Days of Our Lives.
Yep.
Sammy Brady. I think that she has had a stellar year. I think in terms of a character, she's matured mm-hmm. by leaps and bounds.
Yes, she
and
has.
And I think that when it comes to any character on that show, she is blossoming and is about ready to come into her prime. And this is from a character that has had a stellar run already. I think that she has had an amazing year.
Yeah, that's exactly who I thought you were going to pick. And I absolutely agree. She has matured. She's starting to make smarter choices. She has grown into a lovely young woman. She's still got her claws, and I love that about her. But she's showing the maturity and growth that I love. I love, and that's what, because people go through that, correct?
Oh, yeah.
So we want our characters to go through that, too. So
we want character development. The whole thing about soaps is character development.
Yes. So, yes, and I did know you were going to choose Sammy. I did. So, good choice.
So
I agree.
So then, who is your biggest waste of talent this year in the male category?
In the male category, just to clear this up, biggest waste of talent. Why do these soaps sign these names, sign these great actors, and not use them? So my male biggest waste of talent is Stuart Damon, who plays Alan Quartermain on General Hospital. I know most of you are asking, who is that? Well, you know who that is? That's the head of the Quartermain family. Well, not really, but
semi-head
of the Quartermain
family. You're stretching
family.
It a bit there.
I forgot about Edward, honestly. See, another guy who's wasted. He's never on. He's so good. He's Alan freaking Quartermain. Put him on the screen. Put Monica on. I want to see the Quartermain family. The end.
Well, what you forget, I do not overlook. I remembered to pick John Ingle as Edward Quartermain.
Wow, we are like on the same thought track. It's kind of creepy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's getting a little bit weird, but. To me, there's hands down no argument that John Ingle is perfect as Edward Quartermain.
Oh yes, I
Jed Allen. Nothing against Jed Allen, but he was just not Edward Quartermain. And then to bring Edward back as John Ingle back as Edward Quartermain, and then not to use him and to see him so rarely, is a travesty of monumental proportions. This is a character who could have the entire show built around him. He could be the victor of General Hospital and could do it flawlessly.
And absolutely. With a touch of humor.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, I just miss the Quartermain so much.
And the blustering and everything else. He could, his blustering way of manipulating his family and those
right.
around him is genius.
And it's endearing. And it's endearing a little bit, too, in my view. While we get aggravated at him, we know that it comes mostly from love and from respect and wanting the best. So that's a good choice. We have good choices so far.
Yes, we're on a roll. We're on a roll.
And if you agree or disagree, please write in to dc@tvfanonline.com. We'd love to hear what you have to say.
Oh, yeah. We definitely want to hear your guys' list because, obviously, they're probably not the same as our own.
No, and it's really funny because we're so in line here. Okay, my biggest waste of talent for the females is on CBS, on As the World Turns, and it's Elizabeth Hubbard, who plays Lucinda Walsh.
Oh, what a great pick.
I miss her. She is wonderful. One of my favorite storylines with Lucinda are her interactions with John Dixon, who's no longer on the soap, her interactions with Craig, her interactions with Henry.
She can
gold.
Interact with anyone. Her
and
interactions with Simon are great.
Yes, she is gold with whatever. And she went through a cancer battle this year. Do any of you remember that? No, because they didn't play it out on screen enough. Elizabeth Hubbard is a one-of-a-kind talent, and I think she needs to be used more. That is the biggest waste of talent on daytime, in my opinion. So,
well, this is just getting a little bit weird, because mine also comes from As the World Turns.
Are you kidding me?
No. And I'm not sure you're going to agree with me on this one. We'll see. My pick for the biggest waste of talent as a female character is Maddie Coleman. I think that this is an actress and a character that has so much potential. I mean, there is no... I mean, I don't... Well, I guess I wouldn't say there's no, but she is one of two great younger actresses on this show who can be given a storyline, run with it, and make it gold. But I think that the whole slasher, lake house... killer, whatever you want to call it, this thing was a huge waste of her talent. I think that they did not deal with the after effects of everything that took place, with the fact that she had been sexually abused by her sister's husband, the fact that her sister ended up being the killer. To me, we did not see that played out. There, as of right now, there seems to be no lasting effects, and it has been, what, 2 months?
Right.
In addition to that, we do not see her and her brother in a dynamic, for all intents and purposes.
Nowhere near enough.
No.
Nowhere.
So to me, while this actress is great, and while I love the character, she deserves so much more. I mean, why do we why is she being sidelined when we have to watch Jade? It makes sense to me.
Absolutely agree.
No sense to me.
Now, she and Jen Landon, Alex Chandra, who plays Maddie, and Jennifer Landon, who plays Gwen, are wonderful actresses. And they are the ones who should be going toe-to-toe, either as friends or frenemies or enemies. It should not be Jade. I appreciate having a bad girl, but I want a bad girl who has...
Who you can root for.
That you can see layers to, or that you can see maybe there's some vulnerability there. But I don't get that with Jade. I get one note, and I would much rather see Maddie in that role than Jade. I don't agree that it's the biggest waste of talent, but I agree she's very underutilized. So I guess that's where you're going. So yeah, I really like that choice.
So speaking of vulnerabilities and the fact that often those who are vulnerable are also tortured, who is your most tortured couple in daytime?
Well,
is that a segue or what?
Yeah. Well, mine is a little of a different choice.
Did you cheat again?
I did. My most tortured couple in daytime is Rosie O'Donnell and Barbara Walters of The View.
Oh, God. What a great choice.
You can see that they love each other, but at the same time, don't you just think Barbara just wants to reach over and just smack Rosie every once in a while?
Did you see this past week?
It was wonderful.
These two got into arguing over who was the poorer of the two. It was classic. I seriously saved it on my DVR so that
it's
I could watch it multiple times.
The look of utter hatred that Barbara shot Rosie over the table. I don't think she hates her at all. I really don't. I think they.
It was one of those looks that a mother gives her child that says, "You shut up right now, or else."
I thought Rosie was going to die. If somebody could burst into flames at any moment, I thought it was going to be Rosie. That look that Barbara shot her when she was talking about her fancy apartment. Oh, it's classic. I mean, I rewound it. I was like, "That is beautiful. It's beautiful," and you know, you can tell they love each other. But at the same time, Rosie kind of crosses the line sometimes, which we love.
Oh,
but you know, Barbara has to, you know, do cleanup control, you know, patrol, and you know.
Well, she pretty much pissed off the entire Asian part of the world this past week. I mean,
well, and then she pissed off Kelly Ripa fans, and then she pissed off
Clay Aiken fans.
I mean, it's just never ending, which is great.
DeVito fans.
Poor Barbara has to, you know, do cleanup almost every week, and they're my favorite couple on daytime right now.
You know, I don't think that Barbara's complaining, and if she is, it's all the way to the bank because the ratings are up.
That's right. Rosie is gold. So, who is your most tortured couple, now that was the most brilliant pick of all time?
I chose a more classic definition of couple. I chose someone who has had to battle split personalities, romances.
Fraternities. I know
whatever.
Exactly what you're going to pick.
It's Nash and Jessica on One Life to Live.
Are you kidding me?
They've went through so much. Mm-hmm. And now she's married to Antonio. And it's obvious that she
loves him. Well, that's torture in itself.
She loves him and he loves her. And she married the wrong man.
Oh, by far.
It's just agony. It not only is it torture for them, it is torture for us, the viewer. Whereas Rosie and Barbara are torture for them, but not for us because we thoroughly enjoy it. Watching Jessica and Nash are torture for the viewers because it's just painful.
Yeah, it is painful. And watching Nash long for the family that he could have had and he thinks, you know, was possible at one time. It's good work by Forbes March. It's some good acting.
Oh, yeah.
And to see Bree get all jealous, Bree, who plays Jessica, get all jealous when she sees him with another woman, it's good acting. And it's one of the few things about One Life to Live that I enjoy watching right now is Jessica Nash. So,
well, speaking of families, who did you choose for your best family of 2006?
My best family? Oh, okay. I was hoping we'd do best couple, but that's okay. We can go do that later. My best family of 2006, and you're not going to agree at all. You're just not. The Slaters of all my children. I love Zach and Kendall and Spike. I love them. I don't care. Spike is not Ryan's. Spike. Who do you see Spike with more often? Yeah, it's Zach. You see him more with Zach than you do with Kendall. And they are adorable together. Oh, I mean, just makes my... And I know this is too much information. They make my ovaries ache. The little girls that play Spike are just gorgeous. And then Zach, you can tell Thorsten K is a father in real life because he's so comfortable with them. He has such good interactions. They're just adorable.
I'm just sitting here shaking my head. What does that family, what has happened to that family this past year that entitles them to be your best family?
Because they've come to be stronger and more in love and appreciative of each other because of all the crap that they've had this year. The past couple months for the Slaters have been fabulous. The Slater family scenes have just made... Or just like the golden light of all my children in the sea of darkness that show is.
Well, I must be a little bit more analytical than you because I did not choose. I would not have chosen them, and I did not choose them because I chose the Demira family on Days of Our Lives because. Because
you're a complicated soul.
It has nothing. I mean, it has nothing to do with my passion for the Demiras so much as the fact that here is a family that you have brought back one character. EJ, in the past year, and in that time, has brought back all the terror, the...
Intrigue.
It has boosted the ratings. It has led to questions and curiosity. And, I mean, you have the Stefano rumors. You have the Eileen Davidson rumors. You have everything. And there's no family that can really do that in daytime the way that that family can. There is no family at this point that can have as big of an impact on daytime, with the possible exception of the Cassidines, but the Cassidines have been dismantled.
Dismated, yeah.
So, I mean, in terms of a best family, the family that has had the best year in 2006, and I would argue that they will probably have an even better 2007, is the Demira family.
I would think 2007, yes, but for 2006, most of 2006, there's only one, and then the second one came on later, and we didn't even find out he was a Demira until recently.
Everybody knew he was a Demira. It was obvious.
Not officially. Oh, sure. We could see that coming a mile away.
Exactly.
But at the same time, do you understand? I love your choice because I love EJ. I love the whole Demira darkness, you know, menacing, you know, pall that they put over that show. I really like it. So, I like your choice. I'm just saying, I think you can see why I went the way I did.
Well, I still think that my choice has much more ground to stand
on
than
yours. Well, your choice is slanted towards your favorite show.
No, okay? Days of Our Lives isn't even my favorite show.
It should be. It's the best one on right now. I'm sorry. What's our next category?
Well,
worst family?
Yes.
Me first. The worst family?
I'm going to be burying my head. I just know this.
I think you're right. The mob family on General Hospital.
Oh, come on. That is such an easy cop-out. I mean, they've been the worst family forever.
Well, and the tradition continues in 2006. Aren't you sick to death of them? I mean, I've been sick to death of them since 2000. But it just gets worse and worse. Here we have Luke and Laura reunited after so many years. And what's put in the middle of it? The mob. It is a travesty that they have hijacked this show. It is the worst family ever on any soap ever.
See, and maybe once again it's that I'm too analytical or I get bogged down in semantics. But to me, I love Carly where she is now. I love the fact that she's with Jax. I love the fact that she's trying to be independent or has been trying to be independent.
For like a minute, she's going back to Sunny.
But it's an improvement. It's an improvement. And
why wasn't she your most improved female character then?
Because it's not that big of an improvement.
See?
But it's by General Hospital standards, it's quite large. But when I think of Mob at this point, I now think of Sunny and Rick. And if you were to just say Sonny and Rick as brothers, considering their family, had a bad year, I would agree. But if you throw in Carly, even though she's divorced, then I would have to argue with you.
Well, I'm throwing in Carly, Jason, Alcazar. I'm throwing in all the people that have touched the mob this year.
So does that mean that you're including Alexis?
So, yeah, I'm sick of her mob ties. I like Alexis, but I hate the tie to the mob. That's what I mean by mob family. I hate all these ties go back to the mob. And on General Hospital, which barely has anything to do with the hospital anymore. That's what I hate.
I don't know.
I hate that almost every family is tied to the mob now in one way or another. I hate it. Go ahead.
Well, my pick, how do I put this, is a family without a family, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
My pick is Bo, Chelsea, and Billy on Days of Our Lives. And I think that the reason that I've picked them is because, A, they're a snore. B, Bo has become
insufferable.
Absolutely insufferable. I'm so sick of I'm going to put my fist through your face mentality from him. It's just a pain. Chelsea, though has improved, but that is due in large part to the fact that Willow sucks so bad and the Willow effect.
But, and that Nick has made her a little better, too.
Nick has made her better. I've always liked Billy, but I think that she lets her daughter run roughshod off,
and it's
roughshod over her. And the three of them are boring. The only time I ever am slightly amused with those is when Chelsea refers to Batch as Pirate Guy. That is the only time I'm ever slightly
pirate
amused.
Pirate Guy, that's right. She does do that. That's funny.
To me, this is a girl who is a walking miscarriage. I mean, we have
and it's annoying. She's just plain annoying, and it's not needed. It's
well, no. I think that they're in the process of rehabilitating the character of Chelsea, but I think they could have done it with better storylines. I think, well, mm-hmm. Of course, Sheffer wasn't in charge at that time, so it's not his fault. But I just want this to be over and disillusioned. I would be more than happy to have Chelsea not end up being Bo's child. I would be more than happy to possibly have Billy not even be Chelsea's mother. And
that's harsh, man.
But Chelsea as an independent character would be something fun to watch, and I would think that it would be more fun to watch a character that is dealing with the fact that she thought she was her mother, and now she's not.
Well, she's so much like Kate that I can see the Billy connection.
I love that. That's the other thing. The Billy connection with her and Chelsea, excellent.
Oh yeah,
absolutely excellent. I love that Kate gives her advice.
Yeah,
I would love to see Kate and Chelsea as mother and daughter. Now that would be something.
Well, see, I like that it skipped a generation because it's so true. I know a lot of people that are just like their grandmothers or just like their grandfathers or something. So I kind of like that connection. But yeah, you're right. When Bo, just that whole dynamic was off. The entire year.
And I think that it was wrong to have her be the person responsible for killing that child.
Oh, Zach? Yes. That was... Oh, don't even get me started, because she's never paid for it. Anyways, what's our next category, Luke?
Why don't we move on to worst firing?
Oh, must we? Because you know what mine is.
Well,
mine's
I'm
pretty easy.
And I'm... It's
anybody
just,
that's ever listened to me... I know it's tough for sometimes with my accent, but everybody knows who I'm going to pick. It's Dan Gauthier from One Life to Live, who played Kevin Buchanan. We finally had a Kevin that worked, that had good family dynamics, who had chemistry with a lot of his co-stars, who was hot. And what do? They fire him unceremoniously. I know... A lot of his castmates were stunned. He was very loved by fans and by his castmates alike. It is stupid. It is hideous. And I am still angry about it, as you can tell by my tone. I hate it. And I wish the best of luck to Dan Gauthier. I hope he becomes super famous and goes on to a show or movies or whatever. And One Life to Live just eats their hearts out, realizing what they've done wrong.
I couldn't agree more, except for the fact that I think, well, except for my choice. I agree with you outside of my own choice, but yes.
It's a travesty what they did to him. So.
Well, I did not choose so much a specific actor as I chose a soap. All My Children has done more to
on a whole
than I think any single soap this past year. All My Children has gotten rid of Julia Barr as Brooke. They've gotten rid of Vincent Irizarry as the very talented David. They've gotten rid of Jill Larson. They've gotten rid of Terry Ivins as Simone. There's rumors of them getting rid of even more, which could still happen this year or very early in the new year. Not to mention the characters that happened earlier in the year. I mean, in the last podcast, we talked about the fact that how great it is that Kate Collins is coming back. But let's face it, after May, they got rid of her. They killed off Trevor.
With no funeral, anything.
Exactly. They have been getting rid of heritage characters right and left. They've been bringing in all these other things. It's a bloodbath on that show. And if I was an actor on that show, the only actor that I would have the least bit of a sense of security on that show, if I was anyone, would be Susan Lucci. There is no character on that show that is off limits.
Well, apparently not, because last podcast we talked about that rumor about Susan Lucci putting her little bitty foot down about the actress who plays
Myrtle.
I mean, apparently. If that's true, or has any shade of truth to it,
that is as bad as when General Hospital fired the lady who played Lila,
Anna Lee.
The amazing Anna Lee, and the fan outroar was so bad that they brought her back and gave her basically her status back, but did nothing else.
Right.
I mean, if you would have gotten rid of Myrtle, it would have been fan outrage. Would have been horrible.
Oh.
And if that rumor is true about Susan Lucci, then I commend her, because it's nice that someone can stick to their guns and be able to do that. But I think on a whole, no single show has done more to destroy itself in terms of firings than All My Children.
The only thing I can even compare it to is when Guiding Light fired Michael Zaslow, who played Roger Thorpe, and fired the actress, I'm blanking on her right now, who played Maureen Bauer in the same year. You're absolutely right. It's an atrocity.
Well, what was that?
ABC Daytime is doing.
Well, basically, in essence, in my opinion, is ABC Daytime, well, All My Children specifically, has basically done over the course of a year is created a, is it a dynasty type bloodbath where everybody's shot at the wedding? I mean,
oh. Well, it's not even fun. It's not even characters you want to see dead.
No, it's not characters you want to see dead. It's not characters you want to leave town. It's not characters. We are losing everyone we care about and keeping people who we have absolutely no attachment to.
Right. I agree.
So
what's our next category?
Why don't we move on to the... I mean, you and I have been known to pull some stunts on this podcast. So why don't we move on to the best and worst of stunt casting this past year?
Well, I know we're going to agree on this, so we might as well just say it together.
Best stunt casting
is Betty White
on Bold and the Beautiful. No hands, no argument there.
I mean, it's just hands down the best one all year. I can't even think of one who comes close. Done.
Well, and if it would go to show, I think shows like, I hate to get back to All My Children, but I think that if All My Children really wanted to boost its ratings on a short period, they would be very smart to follow this type of strategy.
Well, almost, because the reason why Betty White works so well is because it is a well-written story, and it's well-acted.
True.
With strong characters, with strong storyline behind these characters and the actors to portray them. If they brought Betty White in and this story just sucked, it would still be great to see Betty White because she's that talented, but since the story is so strong, it's made it so much more enjoyable. I just can't think of anybody more perfect to play Stephanie's mother. It is perfect casting to a T.
Well, now that we've had our love fest and agreed on something.
Mwah.
Yeah. Who do you have down as the worst stunt casting?
Well, speaking of Bold and the Beautiful, I have Mario Lopez, who played
Dr.
Christian Ramirez.
He was not that bad.
Yeah, he was. He was boring. You could tell he was obviously uncomfortable. You know, soaps are hard to do, so not every actor can do them. And, you know, Mario's just fine with what he does, but he just didn't fit. He just looked so out of his element. And it just came through on the show. And Hector is not a character that you probably should build around anyways. So it just all of it.
Well, they turned him blind. I mean.
Well, just all of it fell flat.
I did like Hector's daughter, though.
Oh, she was cute, but.
I think they made a mistake when they got rid of Thomas, though.
Christian, I'm done. So, who is your worst? Well, stunt cast.
Since I am not willing to acknowledge nor accept the fact that the whole debacle continues to go on at All My Children with casting, I have chosen Zarf as the worst stunt cast because that's all this is. I am not willing to recognize the fact that this could potentially last longer than maybe a month or two because all they did was for headlines. I'm not even following my normal month long policy on characters.
Oh, he's
atrocious. No way, no how is this character good for this show. No way, no how is this going to be a long-term viable character Mm-mm. on this show. Mm-mm. This is a stunt, plain and simple. It is a stunt, and it has been botched from day one, and it will be continue to be botched until they get rid of him.
And it's cheap. It's a cheap way to put Bianca with a man because they don't want to write her.
They're too scared. They
don't
want to
write a lesbian love story. So then, you know what, guys? You shouldn't have written her as a lesbian. And don't you unlesbian her because it's bad enough we have a walking abortion on this show. Back off Bianca and put her with a woman. Bring Lena back. She was hot with Lena.
Or Maggie. Or they could have kept Aaron.
Well, they are bringing Maggie back.
Yeah, well, there's also rumors of
them. As a stunt to break them up. It's just hideous.
And there's rumors that Maggie's going to get killed, too. But not
all. That's right.
To add insult to injury, then you have the fact that the hot sheet comes out and goes, if Bianca's in love with Zarf, and it's because it's a transgendered story, is she in love with a man? And their response is, no, because Zarf is really a woman. I don't really care.
If the guy is driving a stick shift, he's a man.
Well,
I'm sorry.
I'm not going to get into the semantics of that, but in the world of daytime where they are too scared to write a real story for her, that's all it is.
Well, that's what I meant by, you know, if he's driving a stick shift on soaps. I'm not saying in real life because I don't know enough about the transgenderism to say one way or another, but on soaps, if they're going to cop out and be scaredy cats, killer. I'd rather have Binx go back to Paris than to have her decimated this way.
Well, yeah, I would rather. I agree with that. I would rather have her be back in Paris and show up every couple times a year to give Kendall advice, light up our screens, do that,
yes.
than to have her destroyed and ruined by the character of Zarf.
She's too good.
It's a caricature. It's almost as bad as. Oh, one of those old cartoons where you have the train bearing down on the girl tied to the tracks. I mean, that's how bad this storyline is.
Well, it's just every cliche mauled into one big thing of mud and thrown at our screens. And I know a lot of people enjoy them. I'm serious. I've gone to a couple of boards, and a lot of people enjoy them. I don't. I just think it's cheap. So.
Well, speaking of cliches, soaps are known, if not for anything, they're cliche super couples.
Hey! Some of them are great.
Yes, but I'm still saying super couples and romantic couples are a cliche of daytime. We have to accept this fact. Who is your best couple for 2006?
For 2006? Really, is there any doubt? Is there any doubt that I'm going to say?
I was hoping that you would look past your own personal opinions and see.
Well, the reason why it's my personal opinion is because they are magic. They are gold. They are money. Zach and Kendall on All My Children. It's the only thing on that soap that works. It's the only thing worth tuning into. The chemistry that Alicia, Minshew, and Torsten K have with each other is... it's lightning in a bottle. They struck gold. And I know I say that all the time when I talk about Zach and Kendall, but there's no other way to put it. Every time they're on screen together, they light it up. you believe them. It's real. It just seems real. And I have to give a special shout out to Alicia Minshew's real life boyfriend, who is Thorsten K's best friend. That is one secure man. Because I'm sorry, if I had to see my woman kissing on Zach every day, I would feel a little, you know, out of my element. And their scenes with each other are always hot. The way he looks at her, the way she looks at him, he, you know, he's obviously worried about her. Kendall deserves to have this man in her life, and I love it.
I think you
finally
cheated.
Somebody gets. No, I didn't.
Because they were a couple before 2006. They were a couple that had been in their element before 2006.
No,
they went through a bad period, which was basically coincided with Greenlee's departure, and then they've rebounded. That's my opinion. But
Nope. They weren't a real couple until the stroke of midnight on New Year's Eve. So guess what? That's 2006. That's when she admitted she loved him, and that's when they became a couple. Thank you. Thank you very much. Don't even. Hey, I am the Zach and Kendall chick. I know. Because they are magic together. It doesn't matter if they got together in 2001. They still light up the screen. They're still the best thing going on that soap. It doesn't matter if these couples been together for 50 years. If they're still the best couple of the year, they're the best couple of the year. And heck, if Alan and Monica and General Hospital were on more often, I may have picked them. That doesn't matter. Time doesn't matter. It's the magic of this couple, and Zach and Kendall have it.
Oh, God. Now that we've gotten over that little public service announcement, I'll move on to mine, which, considering you cheated the way you did, I'm going to cheat as well.
Cheat? How did I cheat?
I already told you how you cheated. You chose a couple that had already been had a major storyline in a previous year.
So what?
Which,
if they're still the best couple of the year, it doesn't matter. Did they have a storyline this year? Were they on screen this year? Yes. That doesn't matter. So all these characters we're talking about had to be couldn't have come on before.
When I look at these characters, I look at specifically as what happened in 2006.
Whoa, wait. So, because our biggest waste of talent since they were on before. I mean,
no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, Zach and Kendall had a major storyline in a previous year as a couple. This year, they had one as well. It's not so much new or best.
No,
or whatever.
You have a weak argument, and you know
it. I'm just saying.
All right, who's your best couple?
Well, I picked two couples because I think they're equally talented, and I think
No, that's cheating.
Well, no, you cheated. I'm going to cheat too.
I didn't cheat. You just have a weak argument because you disagree.
You cheated.
No, I didn't.
Anyways,
you're cheating.
Moving on, my two couples are Carly and Simon on As the World Turns and Scrubs on General Hospital. Scrubs on General Hospital has been amazing. What they have done for Robin as a character and Patrick as a character. Has been huge. They have grown together. They have fought together. They've loved together. And
Wait, did they know each other before this year?
They did, but they weren't ever really. They were never a couple officially or really unofficially prior to this year.
No. And, but they were. They had some times together before this year.
But
so
they were never.
Cheating.
But they were never a couple like Zendel was before.
No, Zendel was not a couple.
Yes, they were.
No, they weren't, but go ahead.
Yes, they were.
No, they
weren't. But then you also have Carly and Simon on...
Wait, did they know each other before this year?
Not in any form of a couple.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
But they... Carly and Simon have lit up our screens.
They are cute.
Are refreshing.
Different.
It's different. It's one of the most refreshing things that As the World Turns has going for itself right now. I don't think you could have gotten a better couple than those two. And I know there's a lot of Jack and Carly fans out there, but let's face it.
And Katie and Simon fans.
And Katie and Simon. And well, I was a Katie and Simon fan from day one, practically. But there's no denying that Carly and Simon are refreshing.
I just love them. I agree. And I like Scrubs, too. I think they're adorable. They're the best thing going on General Hospital, in my view. So, yeah. See, I won't slam on your choice just because I don't agree.
I think you already got your pot shots in.
Hey, it was fun. Worst couple. Since we did best, I guess obviously we're going to do worst couple. Oh, this one's so easy for me.
Oh, yeah. Mine's easy, too.
It's on Guiding Light. Is there anything more atrocious on Guiding Light right now than Josh and Cassie? Ugh. I mean,
Tammy and Jonathan?
Hate mail goes to DC at tvfanonline.com. Attention, Luke, not Lisa. Lisa did not say Tammy and Jonathan, did she? No, she said Josh and Cassie. Because, okay, let's just, where do I begin? How atrocious this couple is. First of all, Reva's ex-husband Josh and Reva's sister Cassie. Reva of Reva and Josh fame, correct? Yes. Josh, your wife obviously has something wrong with her. You don't care enough to find out what it is, so you start diddling your sister-in-law. Cassie.
They were divorced.
He started... don't even get me started. Cassie, you knew Josh was married to your sister, and yet you start falling in love with him. And, oh, well, I don't want to date you until you're divorced. Oh, but you can kiss him and chase him and, you know, be up all in his business and invade his personal space. That's okay. They have no chemistry. They have all the entitlement in the world. They cannot understand why people do not welcome them with open arms. Oh, just because we ripped a family apart, no big deal. Come on over for Thanksgiving and then get all hurt and offended when people don't show up. Guess what? You're gross and you should not be together. You do not diddle your sister-in-law, period. You do not diddle your brother-in-law, period.
This is soaps. It's going to happen.
Not Josh and Cassie. It's just, ugh, they make my skin crawl. Okay, who's your worst couple?
Well, my worst couple follows along with the worst stunt casting, and that is barf. There is no better word to... I mean, not since Soily has there been a term for a couple that Soily as accurately describes them as barf. Bianca and Zarf. No better couple. It is a stunt casting. It is a betrayal of Bianca's as a character. It is a caricature. It is just wrong.
On every level.
On every level. And I want it to end now. I do not want it to last
yesterday.
Any longer. Yes. The next thing we know, he's going to be ending up owning Fusion stock. I mean, it's going to be that bad.
Okay. Let's just not talk about that anymore, because that just made me mad. Oh, I don't even want to think about it. Okay, what's our next topic?
Well, since we're going to save the best and worst show for the next podcast, mm-hmm. why don't we end with a little teaser by talking about the most improved show?
Oh, now, again, we know each other very well. Well, relatively. Let's just say it together. And it's the easiest choice on the list, in my view. I thought this was the easiest choice. The most improved show is Days of Our Lives. There's no doubt that this is not the most improved show of 2006.
And what if I didn't pick them?
You're crazy.
Well, explain why it is, and then I'll tell you who I picked.
Okay, I want you to go to YouTube and watch any show from January 2006 of Days of Our Lives. And they're there, believe me. And then I want you to go to your TiVo, because you may still have it on TiVo, and watch a current, any from this month of Days of Our Lives. It is night and day. They have taken the joke of the industry next to Passions. They've taken the joke of the industry and made it into must-see TV. They brought in E.J. Wells, revived the DeMira family. They have stopped the Brady incest. They have brought in Nick Fallon, who's made Chelsea palpable. They've matured Sammy. Patch and Kayla. I mean, how can you deny Patch and Kayla? They've had Bo and Hope step back from their self-righteousness and start to find each other again. They've had Lucas realize how he's treated Sammy for the past year, 10 years. They got rid of Carrie and Austin. I just can't believe that this is not who you chose. I just can't believe it. You know, if this is not, they are trying so hard, and I want Days of Our Lives to know, I want Hogan Sheffer to know how much I appreciate the fact that he has taken this soap by the bootstraps, pulled it up, and started to write for its characters, and has made it must-see TV for me again. I have not been this excited about this soap since the days of Shane, Kimberly, Patch, Kayla, Jack, and Jennifer.
And I agree with you 99.99999%. But there is one show.
Take your crazy pill.
There is one show in daytime that has become more entertaining than Days of Our Lives. And that is The View. No show. No show has went and made an improvement. I mean, I love Meredith and I love Star, and I'm still pissed that Rosie's sitting in Meredith's chair. But there is no denying that, as in terms of entertainment value, no show has had a better year than The View in terms of entertainment purposes. It has been pure genius since September. Pure genius.
How fun is that choice? I didn't see that coming, even though Days of Our Lives is a better choice. But The View, that's a nice choice, because you're right. As much as Rosie may annoy her fellow panelists, boy, is she fun to watch.
Oh, she is. She and
her reactions to
and her mannerisms, and how she reacts to things that they say and vice versa. And I love it when she goes and all of a sudden Joy is becoming the really cynical person and you expected it from Rosie. Or she basically points at Joy and says, mm-hmm, and they thought it was going to be me. I mean, it's just that type of thing. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, it's fun. I can't believe how much I enjoy watching that now. You know,
and Regis and
drunk
Kelly,
or sober,
you know? Regis and Kelly used to be my favorite of the morning talk shows, but The View has definitely trumped them.
Well, you just don't know which disaster is going to hit next. I mean,
no,
like this week when Rosie apologized to the Asian community for her,
Ching Chong reference.
Yeah, the lighthearted Ching Chong reference, and then they had the two Asian women just happen to be in the audience right there in front of the camera. Oh, did you think it was funny? And they both nod, yes, it was very funny. I mean, it was, come on.
I think it has had a stellar year. Well, folks, this has been the first of two parts of our great best and worst of 2006. As you can see, we're halfway through. We got a great next batch coming up. The ones coming up are a little bit more unorthodox in terms of categories. We wanted to make sure that we tried to cover all of our bases, but we figured we would take and choose some more unorthodox categories. So be sure to tune in for part two of the best and worst of 2006.
Yeah, tune in. Let's have some fun.
In the meantime, drop by the tvfanonline.com/forums. Boy, that didn't sound right, did it? drop us an email at dc@tvfanonline with your best and worst lists of 2006. As always,
yeah, Danny DeVito, let's do that.
Yeah. as always, drop by myspace.com/tvfan or myspace.com/tvfanonline to add us as your friend on TV Fan Online at our location.
You better put down the limoncello.
Yeah, I know. It's late. I'm starting
Bring
to sway
it in
around.
New Year's early, huh?
Exactly.
Guys, write in. We'd love to hear from you. And tune in next week and laugh your head off. It's going to be a lot of fun. So until then, we'll talk to you later.
So long, folks.